right, all right, all right. You are here, Pierre Rutt Reports, hunting, fishing, and outdoors. Pierre Rutt Mike.
Hey.
Pierre Rutt Rob.
Yep.
Yours truly, Pierre Rutt Brad.
And Lemmy.
And Lemmy.
All right, Spirit. It's God.
And Spirit. Episode 18.
Episode 18, here we are. Sorry for the hold up on episode 18. But
we didn't think we'd make it.
Hey, it's Christmas and New Year's and muzzle loader season, and we were trying to get a lot in all at once.
Christmas.
All at once, and the podcast took a side seat to
it. I noticed there's a guy in your neighborhood that still has his Christmas lights up.
That's me. Yeah. I turned them on for you guys tonight coming in.
I was coming in, I saw this big house lit up, and I'm like, surely that's not Brad's house.
Oh, yeah. How about my tree off on? Things are 20 feet up there.
That's nice. That's nice.
All right, so we're back with episode 18. It's after hunting season. Muzzleloader's over.
Really?
Archery's over. We still have some small
is
game
really?
In right now. But ultimately, for us, the exciting kick your butt and get back out there hunting is over.
The meat's been stripped from the bone.
Yeah.
Per se.
Yeah.
It's a sad time of year.
It is a sad time of year.
Because you look online, it's like guys can still hunt in other parts of the state. I'm a little envious.
Well, they can hunt in other parts of the state. They can hunt in other states as well. That's what I'm I know we're all PA bound, but you know, I keep thinking Ohio, Maryland,
it's still on.
Virginia. Yeah, it's still on down there. So, but at any rate, it's good in a sense because now we can reflect on the past season and see what we did right, see what we did wrong, conquer next year or start to conquer next year.
Conquer,
yeah.
Nice term.
You like that? Anyway, so we're going to conquer
2016. We're like a PA Rutt Report Viking ship.
Conquer.
And we're conquering.
By scouting.
Hashtag conquer.
And the best time to scout for me right now is when the snow's laying on the ground. I can see where the deer are traveling, where they're at now, because they're kind of back to their normal routes, I would say, what they're doing. And they're going to be by the food sources. So even now's a good time to scout for next year. If the snow would start flying early, because you know where they're going to kind of hang out and browse on, or what they're going to browse on. So it's a good time to be out in the woods still. Shed hunting should be coming up here very shortly. There's a lot of things you can do still in the woods to better your season for next year.
And since it's kind of still nice out, it's a good time to go out and loosen the straps up on your stands if you don't take them down. That way the tree doesn't start to grow around your stand and make it even more of a pain in the ass to adjust or whatever you need to do.
Well, and it's unsafe. You start stretching out your ratchet straps. That tree's growing. There's a max capacity to your ratchet straps, and I know like I ratchet mine really, really tight.
Right.
So that is right. It is good to loosen your straps up or take them down and replace them for next year. But not a lot of us do that.
Ultimately, you should go out and take them down.
You should.
Well, there's two real-world instances of why you should. In our direct group, one of them is G.I. Justin, who fell out of one. Not that was a ratchet strap issue, but just general safety standpoints.
Right.
I had two ratchet straps break on me this year, putting up stands, moving them around. Thankfully, they were both bottom straps, and I wasn't putting any weight on the platform itself. Otherwise, that would have been in rough shape. But yeah, no, take them down. If you have the time, do yourself a favor, go take them down. A1, you're not going to have to replace them as often, and two, just for general safety's sake.
And they won't get stolen.
That too.
Which I've had trouble with this year for the first time.
We have a thief.
We have a thief in the midst.
A thief amongst us.
Which is, you know, I guess he needed it more than I did.
Well, you're going to have that.
My property,
or she. Could have been a she.
Oh, yeah.
Don't discriminate.
Out there.
Don't you discriminate. Don't you discriminate.
There.
We had a camera stolen on the property. We had a camera card taken out because it was probably somebody going by that didn't want to get seen. And we also had some straps taken off of the tree stand top bunk. It was kind of a little iffy.
I love all
See, that's kind of, that's
ignorant.
I mean, you're asking for somebody to get hurt there taking straps off somebody's tree stand. I mean, if you're going to, I'd rather them just steal the damn thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Then take a strap off of something
in the dark. I get to the top and grab the top rung, and the tree stand starts. The sticks start falling back towards me. Yeah, that's not really cool.
Mm-mm. But at any rate, if you're listening, and you see somebody's camera out there,
don't be a dick.
Or
don't be a dick.
Don't steal it. Just walk past it naked.
Give a thumbs up. Moon the camera. I don't care what you do. Don't steal it.
Make some fake antlers and like walk around and grunt just so I have something cool on my camera.
There you go. I always like to post that I see sporadically of people who get caught on cameras, stealing cameras or screwing with people's equipment. And people are like, anybody know who this is? Let me know. Blah, 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 blah. And people are like, that looks like your Uncle Carl, Bill.
He's
down at the VF.
He's down there at Slappy's having a beer. Go get him.
Looks like Walter.
At any rate, so we're talking about a year in review here.
2015.
We had archery. And we're talking about mainly deer here. We had archery. We had rifle season. We had muzzleloader season. And late archery season. Archery season. I thought it was a great year. I thought that we had some inclement weather at times, but I thought overall it was a good year for feed. It was a good year for archery hunters. It was mild weather.
It was warm weather. It was subtropical. Yeah.
Until the time when it was supposed to be great. And then we had 75-degree weather out there. You were hunting in a t-shirt and shorts
days hunting I've had in a long time, man.
During that time.
We had some really good days.
But that was right before that heat wave.
It was right before the heat wave.
That heat wave kicked in. I had two of the best days I had in a long time.
Mine was the last Monday of the early archery season, that second week of November. That Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday were like just awesome days for deer for me.
Yes, I think we were talking, and those 2 days I saw 7 or 8 different bucks. Now, they weren't, bucks I wanted to shoot, but on their feet, on the hoof, chasing, whatever they were doing. I had some great activity in those 2 days, and then it seemed like that heat wave hit, and the moon was out, and it just...
And then that last Friday was the windstorm of 2015. Oh, 80-mile-an-hour wind sitting in a tree going...
Hey, I was still up there.
I was too, man.
I was in there. Oh, yeah. It was peaceful.
I was swaying side to side.
It was peaceful.
You had to judge your shot.
It was one of the most unique hunts I've ever had in my life.
I wasn't sure. I actually had gotten down on my stand at one point in time because it was so windy. And I thought to myself, I'm strapped to this tree. If it cracks and falls, I'm going with it. So I get down. As soon as I get down, you get one of those like 3-minute wind reprievals where it's like it doesn't blow. I'm like, I'm getting back up in the stand. Yeah, didn't work.
Yeah, I had a branch come down, small branch come down and hit me. And I'm like, of course you're sitting up there for a couple hours and all of a sudden something comes down and hits you in the head and freaks you out a little bit,
Did you scream?
No, I didn't scream. Like a woman. I let out a grunt call.
You scream like Schwarzenegger. you punched at the branch as it went past, I bet.
But it was okay up until the last, I would say, week when it was supposed to be good, and it was so hot that it wasn't. But overall, I thought archery, for me, and seeing game, was pretty good.
I'll go back real quick to the high wind story. I went out that morning. You know how you lay in bed at night and you're like, am I going to get in this stand? I felt really good about the stand I initially thought about getting up in. And I walked up in half hour before dark, got to my stand, and looked right down to the right. There was a tree blown over onto the tree that I was going to get up in. I was like, oh, man. So I went on the ground blind and stayed in there till 10 and then went and got up in that same tree and swayed back and forth because I felt that stand was going to be good. But the tree blown over onto it was a little bit of a deterrent.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
That can happen.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're up there when that happens, I mean... What are you going to do? You just got to hold on. Hope for the best.
If that happens, you just do a buck grunt.
Bruh.
That's it. That'll stop it. That'll stop the wind.
Hey, we're doing a year in review.
Yeah. I don't even know where I was at with the year in review after that story.
Like the peacock call. Brad, you're not getting off of that.
We have at least 4 misses to discuss while we're doing our year in review. The peacock is the first miss.
It is.
Speaking of miss. I didn't shoot an arrow this year in the woods. Didn't anybody miss here?
I shot 2.
Did you kill with both of them?
Neither one with more than 30 yards.
Yes. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Ring the bell for P.A. Rob Mike.
Robert.
Nary an arrow flew from my bow.
Yeah.
But going back.
Almost. Going back to what I was
going to
say.
Going back to your initial question of.
We were hunting together.
Review.
We were hunting together the one day. And P.A. Rob saw what he thought was a trophy deer coming at him, and it turned out to be the world's biggest 4-point, which I warned him about on the property. And he was pretty close to drawing back, or did you almost draw
Damn.
Back? Or was it?
The darn thing had a 18.5-inch spread.
As a 4-point?
Yeah.
He's a big one. He's big.
Just no brow ties.
No, nothing.
Nope.
Just a clean four.
Just a clean four. Nice wide.
How nice wide, heavy horn.
He's young. He's probably
two, three.
Yeah, 3.5.
You see 3.5. That's hard, man. Because
I mean, but you got to let him go. You got
to
let him go.
You have to. I mean, a buck like that, though, you hope you can get a kid. You hope you can get a kid on something like that.
Or hopefully he grows a brow time next year and he'll be a 20-inch 5-point.
Listen, by default, I had to let him go. He excited me. It was the first buck that I saw during the season that I got a little bit of a thrill out of.
Isn't the coolest thing in archery, though, when you're sitting in your stand from the beginning to whenever it happens, I don't care how big it is. It could be a spike. You see the first set of horns in the woods. I don't care what it is. You get that just,
great feeling.
The blood flows even more.
Oh, you're like, oh, they're on their feet today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that little 1.5-year was on his feet today.
He's on his feet every day.
Because nobody loves him.
Going back to the original question, or the original year in review, how was my archery season? The beginning of my archery season was probably the best beginning of archery season I've ever had. I'll retract that statement. From the age of probably 17 on, it was the best first day I've had.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think you killed one of the biggest bucks. I've seen one of my friends
kill
the first day of archery season. Whenever you were, how old?
17. Yeah.
Beautiful deer.
It's a good deer.
It's a big deer.
And if you come to the Jaffa Sports Show,
it'll be there.
You will see this on our display.
The Jaffa Shrine. So
Camp Blue Diamond Monster Buck.
So, anyway, at the beginning of archery season, probably the first 3 weeks, I saw more deer per sit and had a chance to, and I judge just by being able to shoot a deer, whether it's legal or not, just how many times I get that chance during the season as a gauge for how well it's going. And I had 9 deer within the first 2 weeks, I think, that I could have shot if I really wanted to. 3 of them were legal bucks, but small. So it was a good first part of the season until that little warm spell, and then
that makes you feel good, though.
Completely off.
You know your stand sets are right. You know what I mean? You're in the right areas. Yep. That pays off. Because I actually, the first doe I shot was the first week, and it was a brand-new stand set. I found the spot, put a stand up, hunted it a couple times, and I wound up harvesting a nice doe from there. And it's a rewarding feeling. Even if you don't harvest anything, it's just rewarding to know that the work you did paid off, to know that there's deer in the area, and you have the shot opportunities.
Yeah, well, that goes back to, I was reading a thing about Fred Bear. It was like the 10 tips of hunting, and one of them was go where the deer are, not where you think they are. And that stands true, you know, because I've hunted a lot of stands where I think they're going to be here today. They're going to be moving through here today. This is a great crossing today. And then, you know, I go there and I get skunked. And like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I should be in another stand right now. I know they're there. I know that they're hanging out there. So that stands true.
Stand and
go where the deer are.
It's a trial and error.
That's the problem with having too many stands out there.
Don't suffer from stand envy.
Oh, I do every day. Every day I sit in a stand, I'm like,
well, you wonder what's going on.
Exactly. But I have trail cameras usually set up in the areas where I have the other stands, so I can go and pull the cards and, you know, either say you were right or you were wrong. But 9 times out of 10, it's, you know, it's all relative. It all plays out.
I hunt the gut, man. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I've sat many days without seeing a single thing, and then I've sat in the stand and haven't seen anything and gotten to the point where, bam, big boy comes in and you're like, where did he come from? Never expecting it. So that's the lure of hunting, though.
P.A. Rep Mike took me on a hunt, And his little piece of land that he hunts on is real nice. Real nice setup, real nice. And you're the only one that hunts archery on it, right? Yeah, pretty much.
162 yeah. acres, I'm the only yeah. one that archery hunts it.
So we get on the four-wheeler, ride back a couple miles. He drops me off on this where I'm going to hunt. I'm walking down in real slow. I'm like, this is nice.
Tumbleweed's blowing.
This is nice. He's like, you go down the path about 50 yards, and on the right's your stand. And I'm walking down. I'm like, where's that stand at? Where's that stand at? And then poor deer jump up and run in front of me. I'm like, oh, okay. There's deer in here already. Good. And then, and I was like, Guys started running at the chainsaw dirt. Like
oh, I thought 60 it was dirt
yards.
Pickers.
No, 60 yards yeah. down the hill from me. So we had to relocate. But all in all, it was a good hunt.
Yeah, it's good.
Definitely good. Get you guys out there. We have to hunt that property next year. Get you guys in some stands.
There's a crow flies. It's not that far from the property I have. But it's further than we thought.
Yes. Yeah. Rob pointed but that out to me.
We thought.
I'll tell you what. There was... I had a great archery season. I got to test out some broadheads and I shot some pen deer, but the broadheads, they don't discriminate between a wild deer and a pen deer. And so I got to fling a couple arrows this year.
I have a hunga manga. I wear hats every day of my life because I can for work. So one of my three hat rotations.
You said that
is,
like a boss. Because
like, I'm allowed to.
Because I can. One of my three hat rotations is the Hunga Munga hat. And a lot of people are like, what the hell's Hunga Munga? And I'm like, that's a broadhead company. What the hell's a broadhead? Well, you know, a bow and arrow? Oh, yeah. One of those things on the end of the arrow. Oh, like we shoot the deer with. You're like, yeah.
That would be it.
I looked that name.
I tell you what, I was blessed to harvest four deer this year. Two of them I gave away that I shot in the pen, and just being able to fling an arrow and have a clean, ethical harvest.
Just to clear this up, he shot these in a pen to test out the hunga manga
broadheads. I worked the deal
these,
out with
these
the
guys
deer
needed the deer taken out yes. regardless.
They were non-producing farm animals.
There you go.
Before you
whenever you just go out there, say, I shot a deer
before,
in a pen.
Listen, before you attempt to defund us,
and if you get mad at me for doing that, yeah, well, but my theory on the whole thing was, and I shared this with some people, when they test broadheads, they shoot them through drywall, steel drums, plywood, into ballistic gel. What does it do when it hits a deer? And to get that on video and actually be able to do that, I was impressed with the broadheads. I didn't have a deer go over 30 yards this year that I shot, so it was pretty cool.
But they were either going to be shot by a rifle or a bow.
They were going to be shot with a rifle because they were not producing does.
I don't even know if you call it euthanized with that. In a deer farm, I guess you would, yeah?
You just call it killing.
Killing them?
Yeah, kill them.
Just slaughter. Killing. Conquering.
Conquering.
Yes, conquering.
Conquering life. Conquering life.
So at any rate, this year was a good year, regardless of harvesting or not with a bow. I had a great year out there. Saw a lot of game. Things were just right in some days, and some days they were just all wrong. It just, I think that's the part of hunting. That's why, you know, they don't call it killing.
Why they call it hunting.
And, I mean, you say that all the time, you know. You come out from the woods, and you're sitting there, you know, and it's, you know, 6:30 at night, and you're having that beer at a bar with your buddies and see anything today? No. And that's why they call it hunting. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, you're not out there to kill them. You're not, you know, you're just out there for the sport of it.
I go out for the experience.
Yeah. It's a great experience. Out there.
Just pure experience.
I saw one archery day. I saw two bobcats in one day. Two bobcats. Never saw a bobcat in the woods before in my life. I saw two in one day, yes.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I, of course, I didn't have my camera. I didn't have anything with me. I had a cell phone. I'm trying to zoom in on these things, and it's like all you can see is blur leaves, you know.
Look at
like,
that.
You've got to be kidding me. See that little spot right there? That's a bobcat. But no, I saw two bobcats in one day, just like stuff like that. you never know what you're going to see out there. It could be a really, really great day. If you don't see a deer, it could be a great day for you.
There is no book. There is no YouTube video. There is no DVD. There is nothing better than getting out in the woods and learning from personal experience.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
The do's and don'ts.
One of my favorite hunting things that happened while I was out, my memorable things while in the stand. In my younger years, I had a propensity to fall asleep in the stand just because it's peaceful. So one day I'm up there in a stand that sits kind of in the Y of a tree. So the other portion of the tree is going up beside me at about 5 yards, 8 yards out from me. And I'm asleep, wake up, eyes start to adjust, and I look across at that tree that's out 8 yards from me, and there's a squirrel eye level with me. Its head's crooked out, it's looking right at me, and it goes, "What?" Like screams. And I was like, what? Should I scream back at it? So it screamed for like 3 seconds, and then it just ran down the tree. But just one of those.
He was letting the deer know that you
get
there.
You get those thoughts in your head, too, when they start climbing those trees. You're like, is he going to stop and jump on me? I had a bird land on my bow this year. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well.
Like a finch.
I always think whenever those things start, like they're like 20 yards out, and they're on the tree, and they're looking at you, and they start squealing. You know, they start doing and the weaning or whatever the hell they do. I'm thinking, are you warning a deer? Are you warning those deer? Are you guys talking like they're doing Bambi?
There's nothing worse than chipmunks, though.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
They're horrible.
I have a love-hate relationship with them. I love them because I love that little twinge of adrenaline that you get every time you hear a ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. You hear the leaves rustle and you turn around and it's damn chipmunks.
Well, it's not so much. Squirrels. That's the thing too. Like, whenever you hear, like, let's say it's from like nine. You've been sitting in the woods for a while, so it's like 9:30 to noon, and you hear that ch-ch-ch-ch, and you're like, that's a squirrel. You don't even turn around, you know, and it is a squirrel. And then, but you know, from 4 o'clock to 5:30, or like 7 o'clock in the morning to 8, and you hear that ch-ch-ch, you're like, shoot, what? Don't move. Hurry. There it is. It's got to be a deer right behind me. I hear it. It just sounds just like a deer.
The narratives.
It's not a squirrel. You turn around. It's you can't squirrel. See anything. It's a damn squirrel.
The fiction.
But it's different, you know, the different times of day keys you in, like the different noise, like you're hearing different stuff.
The fiction. The fiction you write in your head while the scenario's going down. Yeah, so that Monster 4 point was one of those scenarios. I was like, oh, I didn't hear that, but I've been hearing that for an hour and a half. I'm not going to turn around. And at a certain point, you can kind of gauge based on the amount of time it takes. Like, you can tell it's something walking versus something scurrying around.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I probably should stand up and look. Turn around. I was like, oh.
There he is. He's the one I've been looking for.
It's got a rack. He's mine.
It's a 110-inch four-point.
So I got my bow. I stood up, looked around, figured out where it was, the direction it was coming, where I was going to draw, where I thought it would stop. I could get it stopped. It gets about 30 yards. I'm like, that's a good buck. And I get my bow ready, and then it gets about 25, and I'm like, it's a freaking 4-point. And it walks 10 yards under me. I'm like, it's a freaking 4-point. Sure enough.
That's the only way they do that. Whenever they're not legal, they walk 10 yards underneath you.
I took so many cell phone videos this year of deer walking right underneath my stand. And just, it was cool, though. You know what?
Yeah.
It was definitely cool.
Goes back to the experience.
It does.
About the experience.
I passed up 4 8-points. This year in archery season alone. And I saw a couple other bucks, but 4 8-points.
One of them wasn't bad. One of them wasn't bad.
I know.
That one's like a ghost of 2015 for you. Skeleton in your closet.
The one that the guy killed in rifle?
Did he kill that one?
Yeah.
Yeah? The one that you sent me the pic and said, I just passed this up, and I was like.
Oh, no. That wasn't him. That was a different one.
That was a different one.
But they were both decent.
Yeah.
Decent bucks. The one that we can move on to rifle season now, since we're talking about now we're in the rifle.
Hey, Brad, thank you for that.
We have 5 minutes till the break.
Okay, well, just to real quick, since we're on the subject, one of the bucks that I passed up in archery season, and I think it was one of the ones that this took place on. I passed one up on the first Tuesday rifle season. Came up to me 50 yards away. I saw a rack on him. I was going to shoot him. He had a big body. I put the scope back on his head, and I was like, okay. I think he's one of the ones I passed in archery season. And, you know, if you're going to pass him in archery, don't shoot him in a rifle. So I let him go. I mean, he went on up the hill, up the ridge, and that next Saturday, guy killed an 8-point up on our property. Happier in hell for him. I was complete happy for him. But that was the buck that I let go. And it was a decent buck. It was nicer than I thought it was. But still, for me, I killed some decent bucks with a rifle. Definitely not going to shoot that one. Just because I'm in this new realm of trying to let him go.
What are you doing over there?
I don't know.
I like it.
I'm just trying to let him go. I'm trying to do my part in letting him go to let him grow.
You've ripened as a hunter, Brad.
Yeah, it's not all about the sending an arrow through there. If I want to meet, I'll kill a doe.
Well, and I'll say this. Don't ever have a regret during hunting season that you didn't pull the trigger.
No.
Ever. I mean, that's just... I've done that before where I let deer go and you're like, oh, yeah. You get all beside yourself. Oh man, I should have, you know what? Because it's like that jack wagon that on my post today that was like, can't eat the antlers. Well, dude, the only reason we hunt bucks is because we're hunting antlers. If you want meat, dude, you're going to shoot a doe.
Yep. I didn't used to be like that.
And that's probably going to piss some people off. But like, honestly,
I'd say
horns, it's all about trophy.
I'd say that's a fair assessment for 75% of the hunters.
But there again, let me tell you something. There again, on that buck that I let go, that guy shot, and that's a good buck, and that's a good buck for him, on public ground, up here above my house.
He's getting whacked.
That thing would have been dead where he stood at 50 yards. Dead where he stood at 50 yards. The only reason I let him go is because I'm on private property, and I hope that the surrounding properties have enough cover where this thing's not going to get shot. I can't vouch for guys around me saying they're not going to shoot it. And I obviously can't vouch for guys on the property that aren't going to shoot it. He was happy with that deer. It is a good deer. It was a great deer for him. And he shot it, and he was happier than hell, and I was happier than hell for him. It got his heart pumping. The dude's 72 years old.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Well, okay, I'll say.
You want to shoot that damn thing? Shoot that damn thing.
You should have told him to shoot that damn thing.
Well, my buddies
fire away.
My buddies are on property, you know. They're like, oh, they're already, you know, do you have any rules? Anything up here, you know? I'm like, you know what? I'd rather you not shoot a small buck, but if that thing gets your heart pumping and you want to take that deer down, you take him down.
I agree.
Be like Zeus and no holds barred.
Because I can't control. I'm not on a 900-acre property where I'm controlling the herd, you know. That 8-point walks through, and you think he gets your heart pumping, you think he's worthy, and you want to take him, take him.
That's it.
I'll say this, going back to the statement we were talking about, you're out there hunting for a rack. Yeah, most people are out there hunting for a rack. My old man's been hunting for a long time, and in my basement right now there's probably 60 racks, 70 racks. I mean, he shot a deer a year, every year, almost his entire life up until I was 17 when the lull kind of came on, and none of them are giant. I've shot 4 bucks bigger than he has shot, but he shot 50 times more, well, not 50 times more, but 50 plus more deer than I've shot in my lifetime. So yeah.
It was a different mentality.
It's all what you want to.
It was a different mentality. It was also a different time in relation to antler growth. Allowing deer to reach certain maturities, stuff like that. But
deer hunting's become a trophy sport. It truly has.
Oh yeah,
buck hunting has become, buck season is, and even in archery, it's a trophy sport.
Well, there again, when you're on private ground and hunting private ground, and you have trail cameras up, and you know what's there, it's tough for you to say, okay, well, I'm going to take this 8-point that has a basket rack because I know that there's a 18-inch 8-point out there that's going to blow my mind if I put this thing down. So it's a different, you know, whenever you know you're in the area.
Listen, with I'm your proud scouting, of you because last year the conversation we had was, oh, I don't care if it goes the other property, so
he's
killed.
He's ripening. He's ripening.
Listen, you're growing up right in front of my eyes.
He's ripening as a hunter.
Oh. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Look, and I did this year. I did well.
Bradley, you're growing up.
I did well this
you're
year.
You're growing up. Episode 18.
We closing out for the first half.
The PA rep report. The PA rep. The music was started playing in the background about 45 seconds ago.
We'll come back to this because hey, this I have ripened.
Hey, listen, roles have been reversed here, though, because he's taken over your role because that used to be you.
I know.
No soup for you.
You got me in talking about passions.
No soup for you.
I'm passionate.
Experience.
Yes.
All right, here we go. We're episode closing 18, out here. Second, episode 18.
Second half coming your way.
We'll be back.
PAREport.com.
PAREport.com. Outdoor Shitty Guns. Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Guns.
Back episode 18,
Rage in the Cage.
PA Rut Reports, hunting, fishing, and outdoors. Unfortunately, PA Rut Mike is still with us.
Wow.
PA Rut Rob.
What the hell did I do?
A Rut Brad.
You
all.
I'm not even talking
about
this.
We're back. We left you off with talking about rifle season. And how I have a newfound glory of deer hunting, I guess. Anyway, rifle season. That's when the majority of the Pennsylvania hunters are out in the woods hunting.
Yes.
I would say the first Saturday's more hunters in the woods than the first Monday. Because that.
What you talk about, Willis?
The first Monday is great. Kids have off school. And actually, some communities, kids have off the first 2 days. However, what I would just say from the standpoint of guys being able to get off work, and actually young guys being able to get off work, I would say Saturday is the day that they get off work, and the veterans get off work on Monday.
I'd agree with that.
Okay. So, but at any rate, coming into – that's when the most – rifle season was most hunters are in the PA woods. The first day was okay.
It's a beautiful day to hunt.
Yeah. I thought it was wet in the morning. It cleared up. It was a nice day. But how about that fog?
It wasn't foggy where I was.
No, I'm talking about after the first day.
I only hunted 3 days. Rifle season. I had it Monday and the two Saturdays.
That's it.
I take my vacation for archery. I don't.
The fog though, even the fog on the first Saturday was unbelievable. I mean, I couldn't see 40 feet at some points, let alone 40 yards.
No, there was 3 days. 3 days of fog in the middle of rifle season where it was
bad.
Bad. Yeah.
Worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't get out much in rifle season. I just don't have a real passion for rifle hunting. So,
but. In that respect, to take away, and I'm not saying they're taken away, but that the weather, I would say, in a whole, was crappy for, I would say, 6 days of the 2 week rifle season. So, in respects to deer harvested and rifle season, I would say the numbers are down. But I'm not, I mean, I, you know, of course I don't know that because I'm not the Pennsylvania Game Commission or I'm not out there checking people's taxes.
You're PA rep Brad.
Well, I'm PA rep Brad, but
come on. He's our statistician.
Give yourself.
At any rate, I would say the numbers were down, for as kills just because of the weather this year.
Did you guys have, those CWD tags this year?
Yes, I had three of them.
Make sure, here's a PSA. Make sure that you report your harvest by
February 4th.
I think it is something like that. Because if you don't, you will not be able to get a tag next year.
Well, if you don't, they say they will fine you. I actually lost. I reported. I got two tags last year. I reported the one tag as a no harvest, and I couldn't find my other tag. Actually forgot about it, and somebody told me it was a deadline, and I called 2 days afterwards, and I had to call down to Harrisburg. And I called down there, nicest lady in the world, unbelievably. Nicest lady in the world talked to me. I was like, here's the deal. I lost my tag. Here's my CID number, blah, 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 this and that. I said, am I going to be fine? I don't want to be fine. You know, I'm past the deadline. She goes, oh, don't worry about it, sir. You called her in. You're good to go. I'll, you know, forward it on and this and that. And it was good, so... But I think that you if you don't do it, you will be fine. You will get a fine in the mail.
You'll be fine, and then you also lose your privilege for being able to get those
tags. For the CWD tag?
The following year.
I liked it. I didn't even apply for a DOE tag this year because...
I didn't either. It was too easy.
Yeah. You can get them. Why not? You can get them. The CWD tags now, I mean, I'm like, I don't even know if I want to say this or not.
CWDs. It's like
a secret. It's a secret. Don't
say that. No, but CWDs. You can get the CWD tags... And you can hunt basically anywhere in central PA with the one tag.
Yeah,
you get a doe tag.
WMUs kind of get
WMUs, then you're kind of broken up.
It's not WMUs.
Bottom line is, I can kill a doe in my backyard, or I can kill a doe
as long as
15, 20 miles from my house. Well, I'm just saying, 15, 20 miles from my house to crow flies. Where if I were to do a doe license, I'd be screwed.
Are you a Ravens fan? Because you keep bringing up crows.
The crow flies.
Is it? I thought it was
a rat bird. A rat.
I had to go there. Brad's a big Steelers fan.
It's a rat bird, I think.
Go Steelers. I'm taking
rat bird.
Go Steelers.
Gusties.
Hey, now.
So, at any rate, the CWD tags, I think, I mean, are a better bet for people that travel around and hunt, don't hunt just one area.
Well, say this along the lines of the CWD tags.
18,000.
Just general reporting of your harvest has been a topic that I've seen brought up on numerous occasions in different forums, even through our site. People urging you to report what you shoot, which I think is a good. I mean, ultimately, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that data is good to have. So if you shoot a deer and you haven't reported it yet, report it. I can't exactly tell you where to go or what to do, but it should be easy to find.
No, it's all online now. Yeah. It's very easy. And if you have your CWD tags, which you have to report, these tags. You don't have to report any doe tag that you draw from the state. You don't have to retag or report your buck tag that you buy over the counter.
You
have to do the CWD tags.
Yeah,
so
you should have.
You should have to, but you don't. But the CWD tags, you have to. I will report. I shot two doe this year with the CWD tags. I will report both of them shot. And the other one, I'll report an unharvested.
Bastard.
What? They were looking at me funny.
He's shooting all the deer. He's just killing them all.
They were looking at me funny.
There's no deer in the woods.
They were coming right for me.
These CWD tag guys.
No, there's plenty of deer in the woods. Plenty of deer in the woods. Plenty of doe in the woods.
That was the exact texted dialogue from PA Rep Brad right after he shot it. Because, you know, whenever you're out, somebody shoots a deer, the text goes out to 15, 20 guys. Well, I shot this. I did that. Here's what's going on with my day. I believe verbatim it was, she was looking at me funny.
Nice.
That's why he shot one of them. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did send that exact text to you.
Yeah, you probably pull it up.
Do you guys find yourselves getting in conversations with like people you work with or buddies about, you know, different hunting laws and how they should change and stuff? I work with like 30 dudes. So like I'm with different guys on different job sites throughout the week.
Any of them hot?
Two of them.
Two of them are good looking.
Listen, if I wasn't married and they weren't, so
I was talking to these two good looking.
So
kids.
Anyway,
it's a lot of time on the road.
I had a young kid who's really passionate about hunting. He was talking to me and he brought up a really cool point. He said about bear season. How he wishes archery season, like we all do, would run up to the beginning of rifle season.
Yes.
Because that would be a straight blessing.
Yes.
But to have bear season during the first week of rifle season and make it buck only, and then have the second week be buck or doe, that's a pretty interesting thought in my thinking. You'd get a lot more deer moving because you're going to have guys out bear hunting who are going to get up and try to move deer and move bear and jump deer at the same time, I would think.
Every archery hunter in the state of Pennsylvania wants archery season to go to the first day of rifle season.
I want archery season to go all the way till the end of January and not stop.
Yeah, year round if you want to,
No, I mean, seriously, I'd like it like Ohio. Start in September, and you can hunt till February with a bow.
Yeah, I mean,
but you can't hunt the whole state of Ohio with a rifle either.
But that has...
It makes it good.
Why not? But Pennsylvania's not that way. Pennsylvania's a different state.
Is it?
With 750,000 rifle hunters.
Is it really?
I had to stop and think about that for a second.
Come back around.
750,000 rifle hunters taken in the woods.
How many?
750,000.
Wow. That's an army.
Millions.
No, then if 750,000 rifle hunters took the woods this year.
How many archery tags were sold, I wonder?
I don't know. I'm not positive on that, but I know that, I tell you what, if, you know, just to take a cruise through the game lands by my house up here in Blair County, and the first day of rifle season, if you were to cruise up there, there's cars everywhere. If you were to cruise at any given day, I don't care if it's Saturday or whatever, in archery season, few and far between. So I would say, you know,
that's a minute
percentage.
I don't know. I'm going to ask Rob for his percentage after I make my statement. That's because a percentage of hunters are lazy and don't walk far. Past parking lots, past easy access.
Well, is the statement is the sheer number of hunters at a given time, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, at a given time.
Yeah.
But
so to expound upon what Pierre Mike says,
you can't go. I mean, just saying that the magnitude of hunters that are out there in rifle season compared to other states that allow archery season to go through. You know, let's say like 4 months instead of 6 weeks that we have, 4 months. Their state laws are different when it comes to rifle. Like they don't allow rifles in some areas, or they only allow shotguns in some areas, or there's only, like in New York State, you'd be very tough to find a rifle hunting area up there. It's all shotgun. I mean, I don't know the rules and regulations in other states, but I know that they're way different than Pennsylvania.
Like in Ohio, you have a couple of small broken up gun seasons.
Yes.
You have like a 3-day one, a 3-day one, a 5-day one, and everything else is archery around that.
Yeah. So you can't, I mean, but in Pennsylvania, it's statewide rifle for
And a lot of that 2 weeks. Is still based on traditionalism.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Of how it used to be. Peacock Brad.
Time's up. Croco. Time's up. Crow call.
Go ahead, butt in.
Crow call.
You gotta butt in after a crow call.
Butt in after a crow call.
Go.
Go for it. What are we doing?
I don't know. You interrupted me with a crow call.
I know there was... Didn't you have some issues that we needed to talk about?
We had a couple things that we wanted to touch on. I'm going to touch on a subject before we touch on the things that we're going to touch on, and those are the year in review things that we said we were going to do that we haven't done yet. One topic that I hear discussed a lot, personally, old generation hunter versus new generation hunter, and technology, the use of cell phones while you're hunting. I've had it uttered to me by at least 5 old men hunters. You should sit there all day on that cell phone all day. Look, yeah.
Right? Is that how they talk?
You sat there all day. I know you did on your cell phone.
All day. I say, their cell phone all day there.
I said, well, yeah. I ain't hunting. So it is hunting. I mean,
what else am I going to do? Sit there and thumb my nuts?
I mean, I've hunted on both sides of the coin, pre cell phone and now with cell phone. And I tell you, I enjoy hunting with a cell phone with me.
Oh, certainly. I mean, of course, we all. I don't know about Mike because he didn't hunt till he was 40. He's 42 now.
I'll be 43 in April.
But at any rate, so.
April's a good birth month.
We both.
Yes.
Robbie and I both hunted pre text. You couldn't even text.
We were.
Which is like. It sounds like we're old, but we're not old. It's just like
we were walkie talkie.
If you have to tell people that you're not old, that means you're old. Yeah,
well, I'm just saying that, you know, we didn't even really have text. I mean, I don't even know.
We walked uphill both ways.
Yeah.
In the snow barefoot.
Snow barefoot.
In June. But at any rate, so it was different then. You know, you didn't have the cell phone back then, but now you have it. You can sit longer.
You can check out the PA rut report.
Yes. Yeah, your airport.
Plug. You guys, I think you guys like jinxed yourselves right there.
See what's moving in around your area, and then, you know, it makes you sit longer.
Now, a couple of my favorite Facebook posts that I've ever seen were people posting on our Facebook page, like, haven't been on Facebook in 4 months, so screw that thing. And then I came across you guys' page, and you're the only reason I get on Facebook. That makes you feel good.
Yeah, or whenever we get the private messages through PA Rut Report that say, no roll call today, ? You're like, oh, you know, one of us couldn't get out that day. Or
roll call, you lazy bastard.
Just roll call, damn it.
I need it.
It's funny to me because when people ask me, like, who's the guy in 4A that does the roll call? Or who's the guy in 2C that does the roll call? It's kind of funny because they notice the personality differences of what's going on.
You all didn't need to worry about that.
Well, how about 2 years ago whenever I shot a buck in archery season? The next day, he threw a roll call out there, and there was 4 or 5 guys on there and said, you shot a buck yesterday. What are you doing out there looking for a buck?
Yes. And
so I was like, oh, I didn't even think about it then, but I could text Robert. I'm like, oh, shit.
I thought you were going to say that time all them girls shit up to your house.
And I was like, oh, man.
Oh, man. You guys got to go.
We got to let these people know that there's more than one person running this page.
Like, seriously. No. Honestly, it wasn't me. I promise.
But
it's the crow.
Yeah, the cell phone. Back to the cell phone. The cell phones. I mean, I'm sorry, but it makes me sit longer. It makes me sit longer.
I agree.
Something to do out there. Something to check. Texting my buddies to see what they're seeing, and whether they're not my area or they're in my area or not. Cell phones are a good thing out there as long as you can keep the battery going.
I'll tell you. I'll give you a real simplistic breakdown of the cell phone. You can be against the cell phone, but being against the cell phone is like being against the crossbow. In order to get people out in the woods and to maintain what it is that we love to do, there needs to be money behind it. How do you get money behind it? You get more people to do it. More people will hunt because they use crossbows.
Agree.
More people will hunt, more young people will hunt because they can sit in the tree stand and have a cell phone with them while they're bored.
True.
It has to be there. It has to be there. It's built into our culture now.
It's our society, our kids, my kids, Pierre Rob's kids. They have iPads, games that they play, stuff like that. It's a part of our society now. It's tough to get away from it. If your child doesn't have it, the next kid does.
I'm old and I use one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I never even liked one. I never thought in a million years I would text a message. Look at me now. I got a Facebook page.
It's like Brad and I, though. It's kind of cool. Because Rob and I really don't text during hunting season. But like Brad will text me. He's like, hey, what's going on over there? And the days we were having really good days, it was cool to text back and forth because we weren't that far apart.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, I got this going on. And I'm like, oh, I just had deer come in. And so it's actually pretty cool.
It's like a mini romance.
Well, yeah, when the first texting.
It's like you and G.I. Justin.
The first texting came out, like people would text me and I would call them back. Well, I text you. Well, I don't text. I call. So I'm calling you now. What do you want?
I don't call. I text.
Brad is the only member of PA Rut Report with a beard, just so you know.
At any rate, I didn't text for a long time.
No, hey, do you guys remember bag phones?
bag phones. Oh yeah,
you guys were really
car phones, bag phones. We were through it all.
Yeah, pagers.
We were right.
Oh, pagers were the heck. Oh, they were the shit. If you had a pager, you were somebody.
You were somebody.
You went somebody with that pager.
But you needed that somebody needed a ride to the payphone.
Beep 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 beep.
And then you had your little codes.
Well, at any rate,
so we're yes, back to so hunting. Technology in hunting is good. It has to be.
It's
there.
Where it's at.
Has to be there. Has to be there.
Well, there's no digressing from
right.
It's integrated into hunting. Look at all the hunting apps that, you know, we talk about the hunting apps that we use on our phones for wind direction and stand location, GPS and blood tracking. Look how even the game commission has their app out now. It is so integrated into our everyday lives. And then,
well, as much as you want to fight it, it has to be. It needs to be in order to get people out there. So that's that. Going back to what we were talking about before that, we talked
year
about
in review.
The year in review and what we missed, the peacock.
Yeah. Brad, are you going to do the peacock this year?
No.
Yes, he will.
What was number two?
No fishing event.
Oh.
Was number two the fishing event? No,
I think it was the kids.
Number three was the kids. Number two must have been the fishing event.
Maybe it was the break. Yeah, it was during the break. I owe our fans an apology because I said I was going to do something that I didn't do it this year.
We're all guilty.
Well,
of that.
You know, I said I was going to go to Walmart and buy a bow and do all that. Oh, yeah. But you know what? Listen, I'm spoiled. So
it didn't happen.
It didn't.
I still didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
There's a lot of talking that goes on in these things, and a lot of that has to do with right now. You're going to listen to this at whatever time you feel like listening to it, but it is 12:30 a.m. 12:40 right now.
How about 12:45?
It's 12:45 in the morning right now.
In the morning.
Our kids are in bed. We're out here doing this podcast.
We're in Pierre Brad's backyard.
Yeah, we're gonna
in a shed.
We're going to wake up and go to work in the morning.
Yeah.
Do it all over again.
Yeah. So these things are at 12:45 a.m.
We're conquering. We're conquering.
We're conquering the world.
Conquerors.
One podcast at
a
time.
Brad is Attila the Hun.
Close.
Rob's Genghis Khan.
Close.
But at any go here. Let's get back into
any
the
go. At any go. Year in review. So we have. Okay. Let's get back into.
Let's go.
Is there
we
anything
were on right for season?
What, is there anything
we didn't
else?
Got a muzzleloader season yet?
Okay. Is there anything? Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else we need to talk about in relation to what we started talking about, which was hunting season, archery, rifle,
muzzleloader.
Go ahead.
I had a great. When I go out 3 days in muzzleloader season, 2 days were by myself. And the other day was with 23 people.
That was awesome.
That was a really, really good season, or a good day. 23. I'm sorry, Robbie's trying to tell me to get something. But anyway, 23 people.
Pierre at Rob.
23 people in a muzzleloader hunt is awesome, but it's also hard to coordinate. Especially with no walkie-talkies. having done it differently, everybody had a radio. Pierre Mike was with me. It was a great time. He brought a couple of buddies. It seemed like everybody brought a couple of buddies. So nobody, you know, everybody knew each other in a certain way. Basically, you know, you only knew about 3, 4, or 5 people in the group.
Buddy.
It all went well.
Buddy.
Everybody was a good guy, good dude. I think we had 10 tried shots that day. 5 went off. 5 didn't go off. You know, they're muzzle loaders. 0 deer taken. muzzle loaders are tough. but all we were doing was driving all day, and it was a great day. Everybody had an awesome time. You know, I wouldn't trade it for the world, and I'll do it again next year. And I think 25 guys is the cutoff, and I would gladly have 25 guys out there.
You're 26, bro. Sorry, bro. You got to go.
Well, I think it's
can't
it's
fit
a,
you in.
It's a raw, it's a Pennsylvania Game Commission rule. You can't have 25 guys in a party. Yeah. Driving
in
party.
In your posse.
It was, dude, it was definitely, we had a fun time. We did. We put a
you can't have.
On. We had people with bows.
Yeah, two people with bows
set them up in between us.
Hey, it
one
ain't.
Lady, and I'll plug Tony Credi here. One lady had a muzzleloader that was bigger than her.
Dude, that was
taller
awesome.
Than her.
That was awesome.
It was a homemade guy made this muzzleloader for himself, and his buck tag was filled, so he was just basically guiding his wife out there.
Tony Coretti.
Two females with us that day. Tony Coretti. We had his wife and his daughter.
Yeah. Haley, which was bow hunting.
Yes.
And we had my buddy D, who was bow hunting.
Yep.
D.
But it was cool, man. We had a great day. That stuff's some of the funnest times, some of the best memories I've ever had.
That was my second year.
With a big group of people doing stuff like that.
Coming back and like seeing guys that you don't see all year long and you remember each other and you go out and you have a good time, man.
Tony Coretti, I'll tell a quick story about the power of the Pierre Report podcast.
Tony Coretti.
So Tony Coretti and his daughter were on, and at one point in time I made mention to the fact that Tony Coretti likes getting smacked in the ass, and he came up to me. It was like 3 weeks later. He's like, "All these people keep smacking my ass." He's like, "Is that podcast?"
Serious?
Yeah, he brought it up. I was like, "Yeah, all right."
I don't know what I do, but I forgot all about that. So next time I go in and see him, I'm gonna smack him right now.
If you see a guy named Tony Coretti at Field and Stream in Altoona, Pennsylvania, go up there and
make sure
smack
you
his ass.
Smack him in the ass.
You get a 5% discount,
and you tell him PA Rut sent you.
That's right. That's right. But muzzle seasons were good. Did you do any archery hunting in the late season?
I did not.
I didn't do any. I'm muzzle at all in the late season.
I only went out the one day with
with a bow.
No, I went out the one day when we all went out.
Oh, okay.
That's the only day I made it out.
Yeah, life for me became all encompassing because I'm a married father of two.
It's tough.
So I play all my cards during archery season. Basically, like I'm gone pretty much in archery season. And then when the second season comes around and it's right after the holidays and stress and tired and just...
House is a mess. House toys
mess,
everywhere.
Shitty feeling. When I'm like, I'm going to go hunt all day Saturday. It's like,
And you know what? That's a good topic for another podcast because, you know, we get into the whole Sunday hunting thing and you get some guys who are like, well, you need to get a different job or you need to do this. Listen, life gets in the way of hunting sometimes. I mean, you have to... You can't, as much as we have a passion for hunting and fishing, we can't be selfish. You know?
Right, no, yeah.
Like, you gotta be realistic. My kids are grown because I'm old. And you guys know I bass fish, and I put a lot of time in bass fishing like I do in hunting. I think I put more time in fishing, but what happens is I still have a wife at home. So I can't neglect, you know, the responsibilities, man.
Well, I mean, you sit there and.
I have one wife. Wives. Listen, yeah. I can't even handle the
wife. I was using plurality because we're all married here.
She's from Utah.
Yes.
I'm a Mormon.
The Utes.
Anyway, you know, you go out there and I probably hunted less Saturdays this year than I did hunt in archery season. I hunted more during the week than my job allowed me to do that. My kids were in school or whatever, so you know I got off work early and hunted in the afternoon.
You didn't hunt much the first week or two either.
I don't think I hunted the first 3 weeks on Saturday, but I did get outdoor in the week. But I don't think I hunted the first week at all.
I don't think you did this year.
But at any rate, it's all because of before I had children. You know, before I had children, I'd be out there almost every day the first week. Whether it be evening or all day Saturday, stuff like that. And now it's like I have kids and, you know, we have sports going on. We have soccer going on, this or that or the other thing. And, all of a sudden it's I can get out for 2 hours Saturday morning, you know, and then I'm like, well, what's the point in that? You know, because I'm an all day sitter, you know. It gets tough with kids. That's where it comes Sunday hunting. It would be a blessing in Pennsylvania for a lot more people than it would hurt anybody.
I agree.
I just don't get I don't get it why it's not there. It will be eventually. If I don't see it, my freaking kids will. And God bless them. I hope they take their kids out on Sundays and do the thing. If we're all still around by then, the apocalypse doesn't take over.
Zombie apocalypse.
No, I don't talk about the zombie apocalypse. Obama apocalypse.
So the hunting season ultimately was good for Pierre Report and folks throughout the state of Pennsylvania. Over the next couple of weeks, if you visit our website, I'll be updating the trophy room page, which is basically the biggest buck shot in Pennsylvania this year and the past 3 years worth of pictures.
Big bucks.
But going into kind of what we lead into this time of year, and where it's coming up on fishing season. I am excited about this fishing season because my son, my oldest son, is six, or will be six during this year, and he's getting to the point where he knows how to swim. I'm going to get him a lightweight life preserver, one that's not big and bulky, that he can cast rod without too much issue, and I'm going to take him out and I'm going to wade with him.
That is awesome.
When I think about it, I'm going to wade with him without fishing, just so he gets used to it, and then he's going to be with me every time I go out if he wants to go out. And it's just one of those things for us, especially with the PA report, continuing what we're doing, trying to get people engaged. Fishing is equally as important as is hunting in the state of Pennsylvania. And it is something that offers youth, if you're not a hunter, if your kid's not interested in hunting, attempt to get them interested in fishing, because it's the two are gateways to each other, basically, just being outdoors. So fishing season is coming up.
Yes, it is.
Get your kid a rod if he doesn't have a rod.
Well, take a kid fishing.
Or take a kid fishing. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't have to be your own kid.
Just grab a kid off the street. Take him out fishing.
Playground, grab him up. Take him fishing. Just kidding. Don't do that.
Just kidding. Yeah, please don't.
Hey, Mike, please, where'd you get that kid on your boat from? I don't know. He's at some playground.
Yeah, some kid at the playground. I picked him up on the boat.
Dodgeball is not a sport.
And PRI report guys told us to do it. Some kind of initiative.
But anyway, yeah. Robbie's saying getting a kid into fishing is a gateway to the outdoors. Now you might not have to get them into hunting. They may decide to do that later. But it's all good. Fishing season's coming up, and we're at the end of our episode 18.
Year in review. A lot of big deer.
Year in review.
Thank all the fans, man.
Out of Pittsburgh, yeah.
It's a great year for the fans.
Yeah, good year.
I think the best area was Pittsburgh this year, right?
The best area is almost always Pittsburgh.
I know. But Indiana was last year.
Indiana was big.
That was last year in Indiana. But anyway, thank you very much for tuning in to our
kind of local
episode 18,
yes,
and our previous episodes. We want to give a quick shout out to Outdoor City Guns in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Shout out.
Hungamonga, Broadheads.
Scared Fishless.
Out of Portage, Pennsylvania. Check them all out, please. You can Google them. I'm sure their Facebook pages will come up. Their websites will come up.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure you especially check out us, PAREPREPORT.com, and PAREPREPORT at Facebook.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 18.
Pretty good. PAREPREP.
Here's to a great year, man.
2016.
Thank you all.
My friend can't